Well, the UN in South Africa today launched the Raise the Game for Climate Action campaign. Keynote speakers, including Richard Munang, Africa Regional Climate Change Coordinator at the UN Environment Programme, or UNEP, amongst others. Now, there's widespread understanding that South Africa's climate goals are unfortunately weak and will not easily steer the country towards a sustainable and just transition. Now, this needs to be rapidly accelerated. However, the economy is heavily designed to be carbon intensive, with the coal industry providing thousands of jobs and powering the country. This is a concern for unions, business and civil society, as well as government and communities. Talking to us this evening is Dr. Janice Golding, Program Manager for Nature, Climate and Energy Portfolio at the UN Development Programs, or the UNDP. Good evening, Dr. Janice.
Good evening, Junaid, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. South Africa's climate goals being weak, and the country currently not on a sustainable and just transition. What does this mean, Doctor?
Well, on behalf of the UNDP in South Africa, I should say that we commend the country for its very proactive approach. From way back when the country prepared its National Climate Change Response Strategy in 2004. We think the country has been very progressive, in fact, in terms of the development of policy and legislation, the establishment of governance structures, and very rigorous public engagement mechanisms. Let me illustrate further. You know, in the last 2 years, South Africa has really accelerated the development of its climate policy framework. A few that come to mind include the Climate Change Bill in 2018, the Carbon Tax Act, the Integrated Resource Plan, and so on. But most recently, the government has put forward the nationally determined contribution to the Paris Agreement, which is designed to enhance ambition. In addition, Minister Barbara Creecy, who officially launched this nationally determined contribution in March this year, underwent, she really drove a very rigorous public consultation, including the youth. And in fact, the government arranged for multiple consultations, including 9 provincial consultations, a business consultation, and many others. But I think the South African context, as you rightly point out, is extremely complicated because of the country's long-standing dependence on coal and its high unemployment rate, now substantially heightened by the COVID-19 economic impacts on joblessness.
You know, Dr. Janice, the economy, of course, as we've been speaking from the beginning of our dialogue here, is that it is heavily carbon intensive. And it has been so for many decades now. If you look at coal production, especially in Mpumalanga, northern KZN, it employs many people, and there are many related industries from transportation, etc. How do we find the balance? And we're not the only one, of course. There are other economies that are slowly weaning themselves off carbon fuel, or fossil fuel as it is called. How do we find the balance to ensure that jobs are not shed, and those jobs that are in fact shed because of the transition to renewables or alternatives are in fact absorbed in other parts of the economy?
You are correct. And indeed, finding the balance is very challenging. South Africa remains one of the world's highest greenhouse gas emitters. And with that, although the country has a much higher energy access rate than many other countries on the continent, 9% of our population remain unelectrified. But if we look at the latest statistics from all around the world, globally, the energy transition can create 18 million jobs by 2030, even when accounting for inevitable losses of fossil fuel jobs. almost three times as many jobs can be created by divesting from fossil fuels. So I think striking the balance requires striving to maintain ambitious targets, creating partnerships, and really forming partnerships that can create bankable, transformative projects to ensure that we meet these very ambitious challenges. But we feel that finding the balance will require continuous dialogue and continuous engagement with the various constituencies to ensure that all parties, you know, move together in the same direction.
You know, Dr. Janice, talking about climate change generally, now, there was a time not so long ago that many people, I can't say most, but many people certainly felt that climate change was, in fact, a myth. And, you know, we are, of course, in a different presidency out there in the U.S., but for the last presidency, for much of it, with regards to climate change, and the U.S. is, in fact, a major role player, not only by it being an emitter, but an investor in fossil fuels locally and abroad, as well as, an investor in Chinese products and goods. They are the largest consumer, the U.S., you know, at the end of the day. We're just coming out of a presidency that reinforced the idea that climate change was, in fact, or is, in fact, nothing but a myth. Is this still something that we have to deal with, especially from a South African context, that there are many people who are unwilling to accept that climate change exists?
That is a good question, but I sincerely believe as a country we have come a very, very long way. You know, I remember 20 years ago when I was in Cape Town undertaking primary research and interviewing people at the Mowbray taxi rank, and I was asking them, have you heard of something called climate change? What does it mean for you? And I got some interesting feedback. Even those from those days, people were saying that was the time when the sky would go black and this is when the locusts would come. These are some of the responses we got. But now, 20 years later, you know, the United Nations and country leaders, researchers, activists, companies all around the world, I've got very profound scientific and very credible evidence demonstrating that climate change not only exists, but in fact, we are at the center of a climate emergency. So the credible research is there. We know from all around the world that there have been scenes of absolute devastation. We remember recent experiences, for example, the tropical cyclone Idai in Mozambique in 29, where the cost amounted to $3.2 billion as a result of climate change effects. We have these experiences here in South Africa. Some of us may recall Day Zero in Cape Town. Day Zero was coined for the day that Cape Town, the city of Cape Town, would run out of water. And at present, Nelson Mandela Bay municipality is close to limiting access to piped water. Dam levels are under 4% because no significant rain is predicted for the next few weeks. So climate change can no longer be denounced as a myth. It is real. The effects are being felt, and indeed the evidence base is there. And really, it becomes the responsibility of the United Nations, its development partners, and the host government really to amplify awareness in the different languages that prevail in the country and in a manner that people understand on the critical aspects of climate change and how it is going to continue affecting and escalating the impacts on their lives.
Finally, Dr. Janice, tell us, about the Raise the Game for Climate Change launched today. What's the objective and where are we going to go with this project?
Yes, well, Janet, the Raise the Game for Climate Action campaign, I want to say it is more than just a game. It is something that is very, very real for us. as the United Nations Development Program. It's a campaign that is really aimed to build lasting support for ambitious climate action. And it is also a campaign that aims to showcase solutions. You know, it is really about demystifying the fact that climate change is not real. So the purpose of the campaign is really to build popular support for climate action amongst audience groups, but really also to elevate the achievements and to amplify some of the solutions and voices of people from all around the world to take much bolder climate action. You know, this thing called climate change, which may still seem like a far-off and distant reality to people, it really needs to come closer to home. And so the Raise the Game for Climate Action is really about embedding the importance of climate action to people.
You know, Dr. Janice, your conversation, of course, or this conversation is much needed, and we could speak so much about the progress that has been made on climate change, especially here in South Africa, perhaps for another day. But we want to thank you for introducing us to Raise the Game for Climate Change and what has been launched today on behalf of the UN here in South Africa. And hopefully, as the program continues, we will no doubt have a follow-up to see how we are faring.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for joining us, Dr. Janice Golding. Dr.